Friday, live from the center of the universe, or the Chicken Ranch. Fighting for you from the foxhole of freedom, I'm Steve Gruber. God bless America. This is the relentless pursuit of the truth. Unapologetic. Here are three big things you need to know right now. Number one, $4 million. How about $150 million in food stamp fraud? How about that? Number two, extreme fire danger in the state. You knew this probably. Maybe you should have a go bag, an emergency kit, maybe. And number three, Michigan lawmakers have now debuted their plan for the biggest change in how we vote in a generation. That's how the Detroit News headline read. Yeah. The way you vote has changed forever. I'm not sure it's for the better, I'll tell you that. 9 days of early voting, that's part of it. But the curtain was torn back yesterday with a plan to allow at least 9 days of early voting and implement some of the most significant changes in how ballots are cast in decades, maybe ever. It's required by that constitutional amendment that voters approved in November. I voted no. You voted yes, apparently. After 6 months of work behind the scenes, state senators introduced a package of 8 bills with House members proposing an identical set of 8 bills. The measure is aimed at changing state law to fit with the successful ballot proposal to allow for in-person voting before Election Day. And that's just one of the big changes. Democrats are hoping they can get the bills to Governor Gretchen Whitmer's desk by the end of the month to prepare clerks for February's presidential primary. Democrat primary, that is. I don't know what the Republicans are going to do. Jocelyn Benson called the approved ballot proposal a clear mandate from voters. I'm really confident that at the end of the process, we'll have comprehensive policies that will align with both the will of the voters and the needs of our clerks. So, what does it mean? It'll provide a 9-day window for early voting and protect access to ballot drop boxes and prepaid postage for absentee ballots. It amended mandated 9 days of early voting, beginning the second Saturday before the election and ending the Sunday before the election for at least 8 hours each day. Of course, there's no money for this. And so guess what? You'll get stuck with a bigger bill somewhere along the way, higher taxes at the state or local level. Michigan voters have voted in person on Election Day or through an absentee ballot that wasn't open until Election Day. Jeremy Moss, a Democrat from Southfield, chair of the Senate Elections and Ethics Committee, said discussions began in December with his office and others about how to implement early voting in a state where large cities like Detroit and rural areas like the Upper Peninsula would both have to make the requirement work. The biggest change is how we vote in a generation or more. Well, it's a lot bigger than that. Under the new bills, jurisdictions will have to allow at least 9 days of early voting, but can allow up to 29 days. 29 days of early voting before Election Day. Probably the first time you heard that, isn't it? The bills permit clerks to set up municipal early voting sites, to contract with other municipalities for sites, to contract with counties. You can vote early at any site in their county. You don't have to vote at your vote anywhere you want now. Justin Roebuck, Ottawa County clerk, said discussions have already begun in his county about a countywide arrangement allowing people to vote at early voting locations across the county that would increase convenience and ease communication. Clerks are hopeful the legislature can take action on the bill soon. I think for us on the administrative side, we need it. We need it now. Ed McBroom co-sponsored the main early voting bill in the Senate and said Moss had used some of the work he did previously on a similar proposal that ultimately wasn't introduced. Early voting with a voter putting a ballot into a tabulator provides a more secure system than no-reason absentee ballots which rely on mail and drop boxes, says McBroom. Prop 2 passed, and that's not going to change anytime soon, so implementation is important to make a secure, consistent system across the state. Benson, I mean, there it is. That's, you know, and that's the problem. So when Michigan votes on assault weapons next November, that will potentially change the Constitution. That's the thing about Michigan. I don't like the constitutional change. Because once it's voted on there, then it's just, in order to undo it, no matter how bad the law is, you have to get it back on the ballot. And that's just terrible. Chris Thomas, who served as Michigan's election director for more than 3 decades, also helped write new bills. He said the proposal would provide pathways for jurisdictions of different sizes to allow for early voting and ease the cost of staffing sites by allowing them to work together. Under the process, voters will be able to stick their ballots into tabulators before Election Day, but the machines won't calculate and release the results until polls close on election night, they claim. I don't know how you feel about that. That doesn't make me feel all warm and fuzzy, but so it is. So you got all this going on, and so the changes are coming. You'll hear more about that in the days to come. The way you vote has been changed permanently. It has been changed permanently, all right? The fires around Grayling and Gaylord, wow, 2,500 acres. Nothing compared to 1881 when 1 million acres burned in a single day, or the fire of 1871 that killed 8,000 people just across the line in the UP in Wisconsin, right? But nonetheless, here it is, the second spring in a row where we really didn't have mud season, right? And trust me, I know mud season. If you have dogs and you live in Michigan, especially if you have a dog that weighs more than 25 pounds, you know about mud season and your house. Because you're sitting there at the front door, kneeled down. Well, okay, so Ivy's kneeled down at the front door cleaning the dog's feet before they come in the house. All right, fair. I admit it. She's more in tune with the dirt on the dog's feet than I am. Okay, I admit it. At any rate, mud season hasn't been here, which is... it's just another dry spring. And here's something else, by the way. Just news flash. Where are the tornadoes? One of the quietest. May is tornado month in America. May is always the worst tornado month in America. Always. Very quiet this year. Hey, doomsdayers, where's all this severe weather? I mean, my lawn's already fried and brown. My pond is not flowing. The dogs do not have mud on their feet. And I haven't, you know, seen much for tornadoes. Anyway, yeah, there's been a few. No F4s, no F5s. Where is this severe weather you speak so much about? Tell me, you doomsdayers, tell me, where are these weather storms and these terrible, horrible things you speak of? Anyhow, because of the lack of rain, there's a great article by J.P. Isbell at Michigan News Source today about having a go bag. If you're in one of these areas and you're in a national forest, you're in the Manistee National Forest, wherever you might be, I'll just use that one as an example, and a fire sparks and the wind comes and your house is nearby, man, you need to, you know, just pretend you're in California. Remove your brain, but grab your bag and run out the door and protect your house. The removing your brain part is optional, but if you live in California, you get what I'm saying. Anyhow, a go bag for people that are in high fire danger areas, not a bad idea. JP takes you through the entire process. Again, you can find that at MichiganNewsSource.com. Trust me, if you haven't looked yet, you need to look. MichiganNewsSource.com. MichiganNewsSource.com. When I come back, Ron Rademacher, he's got a go bag, or two or three, depending on where he's going. Is he going to the brewery? That's bag one. Is he going to the lakeshore? That's bag two. Is he running like hell from fires? That's bag three. You see, bags one, two, or three. Ron Rademacher is one prepared individual. He'll talk after this.
I'm Shanola Hampton. Every day, millions of people face hunger. Today, I will share with you some of their experiences. I'm stuck between paying for medications or paying for food. John from Maine. After paying my bills, I can buy groceries. It's sad to say, food comes last. Alice from Oregon. I thought pantries were for less fortunate people, but anybody could be less fortunate in a day or even a second. Claire from Virginia. The Feeding America Network of Food Banks helps provide over 6 billion meals to people in need each year. No one should have to worry where their next meal will come from. Together, we can end hunger. Learn more at feedingamerica.org.
Let's face it, life looks a little different. During these times, we're doing our best to keep our minds and bodies strong. And getting a flu shot helps us stay healthy, so we don't miss out on what matters. like having game night at home. Yeah, can't do that while sick with the flu. Now imagine family movie night that your daughter can't live without. Well, that's ruined. And don't forget your uncle's socially distanced cookout. See? That's why it's important to be at our strongest. Every year, millions of people in the U.S. get the flu. Especially now, no one has time to miss out on moments that matter. So get your flu shot. Find out more at getmyflushot.org. Brought to you by the AMA, CDC, and the Ad Council.